listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Robert, Fred, and Timmy, they want to get some, but I'm the king, so yo, you know the outcome. Another victory. They can't get with me, so pick a VC date because you're history. I'm the authentic poet to get lyrical. For you to beat me, it's going to take a miracle.
Ha, 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 ha. Welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are in the house on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Football playoff Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
Which means this is the best time to be on Black Twitter, man. This is, you know, this is the sacrifice we give up for y'all, man. This is when somebody normally says something ignorant and then everybody goes in on them. But
right.
We're here working. But it's a pleasure to be working today.
Because yes, it is.
We have somebody that, I want to say I've been following on Twitter for a long time, been aware of for a long time, but we've never had on the show before.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
You know what, man? I really, mm-hmm. a lot of times mm-hmm. feel like sometimes I think people are a bigger deal and we're a smaller deal.
Than we really are, because we're not. You need to shoot your shot, Rod.
I know. Yeah, it happens to me too. Like sometimes people will be like, man, I wanted you to do so and so. And I'm like, why didn't you just ask? And you know, I fall victim to it myself, you know? So sometimes when you look up to people and you have a lot of respect for them, you make them bigger in your head than they have to be. So, but it's Raina April from Twitter, or April, as I call her in my head.
as you should, because that's my name.
You know, as friends, you know, as people that have followed each other on Twitter for a while now, you know, I feel like that all those that's a relationship. So it's good to be able to finally
Aww.
Have it in person and solidify. But it's our girl Raina April. How you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you for finally having me on your show. I am very happy to be here with you and Karen today.
Thank you.
Cool.
You know, people might, you know, obviously know her from Twitter. You might know her from the hashtag #OscarsSoWhite, which completely blew up. And, which, I mean, apropos of that, I mean, Oscars are coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I'm expecting to see a lot of Negroes up in the selections and stuff. You know, I haven't even looked. I don't feel like I don't even need to look because obviously I got the message from the hashtag, right?
yeah, in theory, that would be fantastic. I mean, we know that Chris Rock is going to be hosting this year. So I think they put him out front purposefully, which,
yep.
you know, I'm happy about because I think he's going to be a great host. And, mm-hmm. you know, his commentary, his jokes are always very timely and, you know, very politically astute. But I don't have a lot of hope yet again for the nominations themselves. So we'll just have to see. And it's not because there isn't quality work that has been done this past year, but there hasn't really been a change in the Oscars process, and
right.
so that means that there probably won't be much difference than it has been in previous years, and that's disappointing.
Mm. Now, are you like a big movie like fan? Like, is that something that you've always kind of grown up like looking at, like, or even just award shows for like the Oscars and stuff? Have you always grown up with like an eye on that?
I have. You know, I'm old. So, you know, I've been watching the Oscars for a really long time, and there's something about the pageantry about it all, you know, and seeing all of your favorite actors and actresses get all gussied up in their pretty dresses and their fancy tuxedos. So I watched year after year after year, and now that it's, you know, I remember the Oscars when it was just the show, and then it became, you know, 3 hours of red carpet premieres and all that, and I watch it all. And, you know, and we rag on folks on Twitter whose outfits are challenged. And maybe, you know, they should have taken a little bit more thought in deciding what they should wear, or, you know, undergarments and support garments are a thing, you know, so there's all of that. You know, and we talk about that on Twitter every year, and that's fantastic. So I have been watching. It's only, you know, in the last couple of years that I've been really concerned with the lack of inclusion and diversity in the Oscars, and not just the Oscars. You know,
right.
we can talk about the Tonys, the Emmys, the Grammys, all of them, all of the shows, and that's why I think it's so important that we continue to support those award shows that feature and highlight us, you know, so the BET Award show and, you know, the Soul Train Music Awards and, you know, all of the shows, the NAACP Image Awards, the ALMA Awards, all of the shows that really focus on the achievements of people of color over the previous year. I think those are very important too.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. And I think for me, what you said is one reason why I don't watch a lot of the standard award shows. I don't even get excited. I'd be like, well, I can go always go do something else, because I've always felt like it was white people praising white people for doing white people shit. And if they think about you as a second thought, or if they feel like it's time the Negroes or the brown people are complaining and we haven't nominated them for, you know, for nothing, or they ain't went one in a few years, like every now and then we will hand you a bone. But it's just one of those things where, to me as a black person, frustrating. And for me, I know I love the BET Awards and all the other awards you talked about, that I look forward to those, because they're going to be stuff that I watch and I enjoy, and people that look like me, and even people that don't look like me. That's the thing, a lot of times we'll include other races and even white people, but it's for some reason when it's reversed, we're afterthought. But when our shit comes, we'll include you because we like white shit, you know.
Right.
But for some reason when it's like they don't even take their time, because in particular Blackish was one of the best shows on television, but when it comes to nomination time, a lot of the right critics don't watch this show. If you ask them, they know nothing about the show. And it's just one of those things where people like me pay attention to that, and people like me watch that stuff. And when we do win, people like me, and particularly a black woman, pay attention to how we treat it. You know, when you talk about Viola Davis and stuff like that, I go, oh, okay, now it's a problem. You know, when the other white lady got up there and was like, well, y'all need to help us too, you know, everybody was like, go, yeah, go girl, go, and clap their hands and shit. But when somebody else came up there and was like, hey dog, you know, I'm trying to strive just like everybody else, and I'm constantly left behind, and everybody go, oh, why you gotta bring race up in this shit? When at the end of the day, everything we do just about is about race.
Yeah, she was being divisive for acknowledging she was the first black woman up on that stage.
Come on now.
But yeah, Patricia Arquette got on there and said gay people, black people, and people of color,
and women.
And women need to all support, you know, white women, in helping them get their monetary equality. So yeah, it's definitely, a thing. I used to feel a lot like that too, where I was like, I don't even pay attention to these awards because I felt like we weren't being served there. But I feel like in the last few years, I kind of had a different view, which is that why shouldn't we want to be on the stage? Because I don't want to be, admit defeat there, because at the same time, we can't say, well, we want inclusion. Well, we didn't get it. All right. We give up, because in a lot of ways, those are the images that do matter to people. Those are the things that inspire the next actor or actress or director or producer or whatever. Because there's some black kid watching that shit going through the same feelings I had when I was watching it and going, where are the brown people? Where's the things I like? Well, I enjoyed these movies. I saw these other movies, and I still enjoy, you know, these black movies. I still enjoy, you know, these movies, all from different parts of the world and stuff. And I'm not seeing it represented here. So I do feel like, you know, the hashtag Oscar So White was important. The discussion around it was important, because it's the only way you're going to like get any progress, is you have to actually put the spotlight on them and the onus on them and go, what's going on with this?
Yeah. Right. And, you know, one of the critiques that I got with respect to the hashtag was, well, why are we so interested in the white gaze? You know, why do you care about the Oscars when we also have these, you know, these quote unquote black shows that highlight our achievements? And, you know, I take that point well, but, you know, the Oscars is still considered the pinnacle, right? You know, and until that changes, until the NAACP awards and, you know, the other awards that we have are seen on the same footing, then it still is important for people of color to be, you know, in marginalized communities to be recognized on that stage, you know. And so, but I don't think it has to be mutually exclusive. And when we talk about it, it's not just about the Oscars. You know, Cheryl Boone Isaacs, who's a black woman, who's the president of the Academy, who was just reelected actually, you know, said, you know, the Oscars, we can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And I get that because really the decisions that are being made happen in the boardroom of, you know, the huge studios in determining, you know, when you're, you know, I saw, for example, Birdman, which a huge movie last year and won Oscars in 2015, you know, and that one starred Michael Keaton and he was great in that role.
Right.
But the question I have is, you know, was Andy Garcia, you know, called to audition for that? Was Ken Watanabe? Because it wasn't, it was about sort of a washed up actor, right?
Right.
And who can't play a washed, you know, why does it have to be a white man playing a washed up actor? It could have been anyone. You know, obviously it was Denzel, but there are other people, other right. communities too, that could have, and that's the question. You know, let's level the playing field because affirmative action is supposed to be put your best out there and then choose.
Yes.
So if we're talking about this year, you know, I would love to see Ryan Coogler get a nomination as Best Director for Creed.
Yes.
And if you, the Academy members, have watched all 8 or 10 or whatever number they decide, all of the nominees for Best Director, you've watched their films, and you decide that Ryan is not your favorite or what have you, then that's fine.
Right.
But let's make sure that he is in there, and other actors and actresses and directors and cinematographers and screenwriters and all the rest of them, let's make sure that they're also in there from the jump. And let's require you to watch the films, because they're
right.
not even required.
Exactly.
And that's the issue, too.
Yeah. That's another thing, too, is... Another reason I think the focus on the Oscars matters is because the financial impact of these decisions is often, like, it trickles through Hollywood and it creates careers,
mm-hmm.
and it also destroys careers. So it's like, if you make a film that, you know, is regarded mostly by fans and people who go see all these movies as one of the top movies of the year, but it's not reflected in the awards, then it's almost like, you know, when studios make their financial decisions, like, well, why would we want to give this guy a shot? You know, it's not, we're not going to get the acclaim that he feels he deserves, or she feels she deserves, or the audience feels they deserve. We might as well just go with a low budget white film again and hope we can get another one of these independent type nominations, which happens a lot. It's because it's not even about the money at the end of the day. When it comes to the actual awards, like, people will be like, well, you know, Selma didn't make that much money. And you're like, well, did Birdman make a lot of money?
Right.
You know, does 12 Years a Boy? What was the name of that? Boyhood. There you go. does that movie make a lot of money? Or, you know, like, is that even a requirement to like something artistically? And it's not supposed to be, but then when you look at those directors and the projects they choose and what they get to do with the rest of their careers, it's career making. So it's like, I do want to see Ryan Coogler get nominated. I want to see him fucking win, to be honest, but I want to see him get nominated because then he can go do anything he wants. And I think that's more
right.
important than, you know, that's the soft bigotry of it all, is you don't win and then it's kind of like, yeah, well, let's just not take a shot on his next film. You know?
Right. And we see it go both ways. You know, it seems like there's sort of, you know, which video game is it that when you get put on the cover, like, you're jinxed? It seems like that's sort of the way it is for some of the black actors and actresses. Like, look at Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, since Monsters Ball, she's had some issues with
yep.
getting, you know, high-profile films. And so one wonders, you know, because we say, you know, you win the award, you become an Oscar winner,
mm-hmm.
Then you sort of can open up doors with respect to getting, you know, auditions and that kind of, and getting chosen for roles. But at the same time, she seems to have been stuck in a little rut. And the question there is that because, not because of her performance, which was outstanding and,
right.
and deservedly, you know, she deserved to win that award, but is it because of the types of roles
right.
that black women play that receive these nominations? So not just Holly, who played, you know, sort of a woman at the end of her rope who may have had some mental challenges or what have you, but look at Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost. You know,
mm-hmm.
she played a kooky psychic, you know.
Right.
Look at Viola Davis. She played a subservient maid, you know. And,
right.
and of course, you know, there was a lot of depth and nuance to her role, but she's still playing a maid.
Right.
And there's so much more to our experience. And so is that it? You know, what you win, and that seems to be great for black people, but then it's like you get 100 more name scripts, you know,
right.
or,
yeah,
you know,
right.
they, that are not truly reflective of our experience. And so one wonders, you know, if there's some sort of curse there based on the ways that women have won. You know, same with Denzel. I mean, he finally won for Training Day when he was playing, you know, a thuggish cop or what have you.
So
you wonder what his, you know, even Denzel with all of his accolades and all of his experience and achievements, you wonder what his inbox looked like, you know, after he won. You know, is he going to play, you know, the bad guy for the next 20 years? Or, and, you know, and so I think it's the same thing, you know, we look at Spike Lee, even with all of his success, he's still crowdsourcing for films. And why is that in 2015 and 2016? You know, and Spike goes back 25 years with Do the Right Thing and She's Gotta Have It and all the rest of them. And yet here he still is, you know, having to go to the community for money because the studio heads either aren't interested or won't back him the way he feels it needs to be done.
Yeah. I think it was Monique, Karen, I'll let you, you got the next thing. I just want to bring this up. I think it was Monique who said after she won hers, she had a problem because her money went up. Like her price, like the asking price goes up like it does for everyone else who wins an Oscar. And people were just like, yeah, we're not paying that shit. You know, it's like other people win that Oscar and then they get to ascend to kind of like diva status where it's like, all right, here's what's on my rider, you know what I'm saying? I want shrimp and lobster and you know what? Only green.
And green M&Ms only.
Exactly, yes. You know what I'm saying? Pick them bad boys out and they were like, I'm sorry, you're still black and there's no more callbacks, you know? So, it, you know, even if you do win, you know, that it can be a hindrance in your career. Karen, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, and that's what I was going to talk about, Monique, and with her particular and especially in our community, a lot of people's like, well, what happened to her? Why didn't she get these roles? But I don't blame her. It's like, you're not going to say Oscar nominated Monique and I'm not getting Oscar nominated money, nor am I getting a role. You know what? Fuck it. I'll go on Broadway and make money low budget if I'm not going, not trying to funny, if I'm not going to get paid for my talent. And it's just one of those things where being a black person, particularly being a black woman, that's stuff that I look at. And I do agree with April when she was talking about like the award shows itself, everybody wants to be honored among their peers.
Exactly.
That's what these are. These are being awarded among your peers.
That was exactly what turned my thinking, by the way, was these movies are in the same fucking theaters that them other movies are in. The same people buy tickets. I want my name on the same marquee. I don't go through, like, a black director shouldn't have to go through all this shit and be like, well, I guess I'll see my awards at the BET Awards. Like, no. I should, in addition to the BET Awards, where I know I'm gonna be, I also need to have my name on that screen because I didn't just make a movie, like, for just a couple people. I made a movie for everybody.
Right, and everybody went to go see it. And I think for me, the whole structure of the voting process needs to be changed, if truth be told, because most of the people that vote are older white males.
Right.
Most, about probably a 90-something clips is. Mm-hmm. You have very few women, and I don't even know if you have any people of color that vote. And when these people die, they hand it down, pass it down, whatever. So you never open up the door for anybody else with any diverse background to make their way in so that these other movies will even get a chance. And that's also a problem too, because at the end of the day, there's so many movies that come out, a lot of these, because we're movie critics in North Carolina, and the thing about movie critics, a lot of times you're flooded with so many movies.
Yeah. And you can't watch them all.
Right, that's the thing. You can't watch them all. So a lot of times, what they do is the ones that they quote-unquote know is going to make good money, they shit on them because they know people are going to watch those movies. And the little indie movies that nobody cares about, nobody's watching, and it has a $2 budget, they'll rant and rave. You go watch it, you be like, this is some bullshit, this ain't good, but they like it because it's different. And my thing is that I don't care about it being different. It's like, if the masses don't go see it, so it's like the critics and the general public, it's a disconnect, and I think that's a problem too.
The other issue there is for the movies that have mostly black cast, a lot of them won't even go see it. So with the indie movie, like, they'll make their way out there, like, oh, so-and-so is playing she's playing a mop salesman, I gotta figure a way out to see this shit. But then when it's like, all right, well, here's this movie about a black dude who started a debate team with all black kids. And it's like, yeah, that seems like a black thing. I don't need to watch that. And you're like, well, if you don't watch it, you're not going to review it. If you don't review it, you're not going to nominate it. So it gets washed out of the cycle just for being black.
Right.
Go ahead, Ken.
I'm sorry. And for me, that's something else that I have a problem with when it comes to it. And I spoke about this before. Why does our shit have to be just black? Why does it have to be just black? Why can't it be just something to watch? But for some reason, we always get excluded and put in a other category, in a separate category, and not included. And that's the problem for the beginning, because they're automatically turned off because it's black. But most black people are forced to watch white shit whether we want to or not. But we don't care, because a lot of times if it's good, it's good. Right. But we don't get that same opportunity in reverse.
And I mean, let's talk about Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. Star Wars has a black male lead. Are we calling that a black film? I mean, you know, there was so much back and forth before it came out about black stormtrooper, and people were up in arms because you can't possibly have people of color in space. It's like, you know, what does that even mean? You know, but now Star Wars has made $1 billion with a female lead and a black lead. Are we calling that a black film? No.
Right.
But does it not appeal to everyone? Clearly, the $1 billion says yes. Right. And if that's the case, if John Boyega can carry that film as wonderfully as he did, then that needs to open up the doors for other films with black male and female leads. And Karen is absolutely right. You know, that's the problem with this, with the Academy, is, you know, it's over 60% male. You know, the average age is in their 60s. Right. And, you know, there's no requirement that they watch the films before they vote. And there's no requirement that they still have a connection to the industry.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, they're going to vote for Clint Eastwood, whether his movie great or not so great, just because they know his name and, you know, and they respect him for being around for 30 years. And God bless him and his empty chair.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I think that you really should, for me, I think it should be, you know, I said this when I was interviewing with MTV earlier this week, it should be like a provisional status. So you're an alumni now. You know, you went through and you paid your dues and you're still part of this prestigious organization, but you're not active anymore. So let's give the students, to follow my metaphor, a chance. You know, the people that are still active that have done something with related to film in the last 10 years, their vote perhaps should count a little more than somebody that has been an Academy member for 30 years, but, you know, isn't really active in the organization or in the film community anymore.
Yeah, when they showed the interviews last year, after Ava DuVernay didn't get nominated, when they showed the interviews for the reasoning, the anonymous reasoning behind some people's votes, because, you know, once they took their name off of it, it was like, oh, now I can speak this truth. And it was like, well, Selma was just so political, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement right now. It's just too much. So who did you vote for? Oh, American Sniper. You're like, what the fuck?
That wasn't political at all. Now, and let me say again, part of that issue was with the studio, because American Sniper, the studio for American Sniper, did their job and sent the screeners to all of the Academy members to ensure they didn't even have to leave their home to ensure that they saw the movie. The studio for Selma did not do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the problem, that you can't just say that you've made a quote unquote black film. You need to support it from the beginning to the end. Right. And the end includes, you know, sending that film out to Oscar Academy members so that they can actually see the film and get the nomination that you want. Because it's good for the studio to have nominations as well. So why wouldn't you support it from beginning to end?
Yeah. Karen, were you out to say something for our...
I agree, because I know with us being film critics here, we get a lot in the mail, but there are some that you have to go to the theaters. Yeah. And depending on the time, and they have weird times and dates, like you go, I hope y'all know people got jobs. They'll be like, 11 a.m. on a Tuesday. Who's going to fucking see this if you work a 9-to-5 unless you take the day off? It's like, it is not convenient at all. It's like, it's designed for old retired people. I honestly think that's why they pick those times, because they know that these older people, if nobody else gonna come, they're gonna come, and it better be something that they're interested in, or else they wasted a screener.
Yeah.
That's it. So they make them available to say, yeah, we put it out there. It's right there for people to go see. But if you're not interested in seeing Selma and the backlash about Selma, at least with respect to, you know, oh, it portrays LBJ in a negative light. Well, if we're talking about people who were around during the time of LBJ and they hear this, they're not going to go see the film, even if it's free right there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon before they go to Golden Corral for dinner at 3.
Right.
Yep. It's a rigged game, man, but you know, I do feel like shining that spotlight, it helps.
It does.
I also think, they kind of fucked up getting Chris Rock, cause I feel like he gonna talk about it, cause mm-hmm. he's not scared. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing I like about him, is he's not scared up there hosting. He already had his comments, when he got interviewed, about, Leslie, what is Leslie's last name?
You can later play Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Leslie from Saturday Night Live. Leslie Jones. I hope I ain't take her name. I won't have
to
look
Jones.
It up. Okay, it is right. All right. Mm-hmm. When he got interviewed about her, and he basically said, cause someone brought up that, talking about black women struggle in, you know, in basically entertainment. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, would really have something to complain about if she was a black woman. Like, she's upset about her pay now. He's like, you know, she was a black woman, shit would be worse. And I was just thinking, like, yes, he's going to host the Oscars.
Yeah.
I can't. I typically don't watch this shit, you know what I'm saying?
But I'm watching for him.
But I will watch to hear him just go in, because I remember the last time he did it, he was going in. So yeah. I'm excited, and I hope he does bring it up.
They not ready. He going to fuck around and be like, hey, what you going to do? Not invite me back?
Yeah, because it's I think it was Doogie Howser who hosted it one time, and they did like a cute kind of like, there's no black people here, ha ha ha, like jokes, but right. I feel like Chris gonna make people feel bad.
Uncomfortable.
You know what I mean? So, but we'll see.
But I think they know that. And I think it's a double-edged sword. Like, they know that they want to get somebody that is going to speak the truth and, you know, is well-respected in the black community. But at the same time, you know, I'm sure they're sort of, you know, wringing their hands with respect to how bad it's going to be.
Right.
But, you know, so he wasn't a safe choice. And I think they knew that going in.
Right.
And I hope he, you know, he lives up to, you know, our expectations in that way.
Me too, man. Cause, the other dude that went in was, Ricky Gervais, and they never let him come back.
He's done the Golden Globes. I think he's done the Golden Globes again this year, though. He's way out there too.
Good for him.
And he just,
I remember when he did the first time, and they was like, never. You know, like, the next day they were just like, never, ever. And I was like, well, then I'll never watch again, cause he was my favorite, cause he was just like, y'all ain't shit, and I like that.
Yeah, he was scorched earth, but if I'm not mistaken, he's coming back this year for the Golden Globe, so it might be, you know, and I think that's intentional too, you know,
right.
We saw that, you know, for us, because we were boycotting the Oscars last year, we did a live tweet with Anjanou Ellis, who played Aminata in The Book of Negroes, mm-hmm. Who's now on Quantico, which is a fantastic show on TV. And then we live tweeted Coming to America during the Oscars telecast. And I'd like to think that, you know, between the hashtag and our boycott there, that they saw the lowest numbers in, I think, 7 years last
mm-hmm.
year
mm-hmm.
Because of the concerns that we raised. So we'll see. You know, the nominations come out on the 14th, and everything was sort of organic last year. I mean, I started the hashtag from my couch, you know, in the family room, and there was no, I had no expectation that it was going to blow up the way it did, but I think we're more focused this year, and we'll see what happens. But,
yeah.
Don't sleep, because, if things don't go well again this year, then we'll be bringing the funk, as they say, even stronger this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, mm-hmm. man. Either way, like, I'm down with boycott, I'm down with watch. The other thing, too, is since all this shit comes on, like, the next day, it'll be online somewhere. Somebody will get the highlights of what Chris Rock said about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get it one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he went in, then I'm going to see it. You know, it's kind of like Saturday Night Live at this point.
Somebody going to have a gift.
If there's a good skit, I can catch it Sunday. Let me do the intro stuff for the show real quick, and I got a couple more questions for April. Number one, this is the Blackout Tips. Okay, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up, leave us a 5-star review, and if we like it, we promise we'll read it on the show when we do our feedback show Saturday mornings. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today is day 389 that Bobby Shmurda has been locked up in jail and not been out on bail.
Mm-hmm.
So within that time, the cop that shot Walter Scott is out. Bill Cosby has gone in and out of jail, within hours,
yes, sir,
making bail, but Bobby Shmurda is still locked up. You can also, support our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Bevel. That's right, guys. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right, and then we have a sexier sponsor. Do I have any sexy music? Oh, I do. Well, for people that watch Love and Hip Hop. All right, guys, let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? Of course not. That's a ridiculous thing to even say. We all want more. Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, they give you a sexy surprise for her. Secondly, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something you both can enjoy. Whether it's the mother of your kid trying to be in your video, or if it's your new girl that you're trying to get with that won't be in your video. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult DVDs. That's right. The kind where you can skip things. You can rewind things. You know, nothing special happens when it comes to, like, interruptions. There's nobody in the background eating sandwiches and stuff.
Mm-mm. You know? Fish and shit.
These are really special, you know, professionally done things.
Yeah, you won't hear the 8 o'clock news in the background.
Yeah, actors memorize lines for these guys.
Yeah, they actually do.
And then lastly, on your gifts, you'll get free shipping. So all you got to do is go to AdamandEve.com, select any one item. Could be a adventurous new toy, could be a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Enter offer code TBGWT at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select your one item. Get 10 free gifts, including free shipping, when you enter offer code TBGWT. That's TBGWT at AdamandEve.com. Play me out, Lil Fizz.
Good lunch. Good Lord, girl, you stay causing commotion. Especially when you naked in that good lotion. All of them circles you're moving, you know that you're slicking them lubricants. Smack it up, flip it, and rub it down, your girl, I know what to do with it. I had your ass on the PJ, serving me up like a stewardess. Your pussy smelling like bitches and cream, no need to be nervous.
No need to be nervous, guys. Lil Fizz with the lyricism.
Damn song.
April, what was the backlash like to the hashtag last year?
The primary thing was that, you're a racist for bringing up things that have to do with race,
right?
Which has never really made a lot of sense to me.
Nope.
So, like, just speaking on issues of race makes you a racist. It's like, right. No, actually, you know, we can go to the definition of racism and, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about here, right? You know, that there's a structural, a systemic problem that is preventing us from having equality in this issue. And so that's the issue. And while I never use, or I hope I never use the word racist, mm-hmm. you know, there is a question about inclusivity and diversity, and that question continues. So that was the majority of it, that, you know, you're being racist because you want to talk about race, or, you know, what about, you know, what about the movies that did have black actors, or who do you think should, you know, should have won? And that wasn't ever the question.
Right.
You know, again, if you've seen all of these films and you decide that whatever, American Sniper is the best one, that's fine. But go see them all, you know, and let's have diverse films nominated so that they can get the shine. Because even saying something is Oscar nominated makes a difference with respect to money. More mm-hmm. people, you know, statistically, more people go out to see films that have gotten the seal of approval from the Academy by saying it's Oscar nominated. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the directors and the actors and the actresses, obviously, because those are the big ones. But let's also talk about the screenwriters mm-hmm. and the cinematographers and the people behind the scenes. You know, how many, if you want to get quality films about people of color in marginalized communities, then they are the people very often that need to be writing those films. So what opportunities are the screenwriters getting? You know, and if they put something forward that says, hey, this is about black life, whatever that means, you know, are they getting stopped at the door? And so that, you know, that movie isn't even being considered. And we can see, I mean, look at Essie Brown and Project Greenlight with right. Matt Damon. You know, you remember that, you know, very well, and how he just shut her down with respect to her program. And yet the thing that they ended up choosing and making was less than great,
right.
You know,
right.
You know, and they treated her, you know, like she was day old cheese. I mean, it was horrible. And, you know, we see that, and Matt Damon is known as this liberal bastion of equality and all things. And yet here he comes treating a black woman the way that he did.
Yeah,
right. And in addition to what you're talking about, something that I've noticed, once the Oscars go out, movies are re-released. And be like,
yes,
this is Oscar nominated, such. They had, some of these movies could have been out for months, could have been left the theaters for over a year, months, and they will be re-released for a specific period of time. Well, the, such nominated, or especially if they win, they'll be like, the award winner so gonna be out for the next 3 months at selected theaters, at a theater near you, and they have special screens. So they end up making more money after the fact.
And your next movie, typically, I mean, how many times have you been watching a movie preview from the people that brought you Oscar nominated this
right.
or starring Oscar winner or Oscar nominated this person?
Right. I mean, they changed the posters, they changed the promotion. Everything is going to change come January 14th
yep.
when they make the announcements. And that's right. And films that were perhaps on a smaller release get more screens, you know,
right.
get, they send out to more theaters. So it, all of that, it matters, you know, it clearly, it matters financially, and it matters with respect to what's going to be made next year.
Yeah. Now also, the other thing that I want to talk to you about, what's it like, you know, being on like TV and stuff, you know,
what's it like being on TV? It depends on the show. It's always an honor and a thrill to get to talk about stuff before a wider audience, just like your podcast. So there really isn't, you know, with those things, I mean, I think I may have actually been a little more nervous to do this today
really?
Than I was, like, for example, to do Roland's show, because
right.
at least with Roland, I knew what I was going to be talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, oh, you know, just come on and we'll discuss and whatever, you know, and,
yeah.
and I typically have a set list of topics that I can prep and research for, you know, but it really depends on the show. So if I'm doing a panel, for example, Roland's show, I did News One Now last Monday, again, and that one, you have to be on the ball, you know, and
right.
you have to, you know, and unfortunately you have to talk over people a little bit to get your word in edgewise because it's happening so quickly, and
right.
I don't particularly like talking over people, you know, but if I'm doing other stuff, you know, it happens so quickly, you know, it's 3 or 4 minutes and then I go back to my regular, drum life, but you know, it's always a pleasure and an honor to be asked to do something.
Yeah, I don't think I could do like the pundit thing because I like, or anything where I have to talk over somebody to like get my point across on TV because I feel like, I would just slip up and like threaten them or something, you know, especially the ones where they're rude.
Right.
You know, where it's like, it like, I don't like props to like Mark Lamont Hill and those people because even when I disagree with like some of the stuff they say, the idea of walking into like this lion's den where the other person's getting paid to be there to tell you, like, it doesn't really matter if somebody's black gets shot and you have to like
yeah.
try to answer that without just choking them.
Yeah, I would snap, kick
yeah.
over some
your boy couldn't do
shit.
It I would have been on TV, been said the n-word many times, you know, would have been challenged people to fights and stuff like that. I'll probably be on TV one time, you know, or it's like, well, I mean, what was he doing wearing a hoodie? Motherfucker! Beep! We had to go to a commercial.
Yeah.
You got some technical difficulties.
You know, some of my friends, when I did Roland's show, they said, you know, you were good, but, you didn't really gesture with your hands at all, you know, and so you could have been a little more animated. And my thing was, I hear you, but I was trying not to point.
Right.
So, you know, so I thought it was better, you know, look, you know, you're wrong, and I'll tell you why. So it was better for me to just have my hands clasped in front of me.
And close to yourself.
Very demurely so that I didn't go off. But yeah, it can be a challenge based on what your other panelists are saying. If it's just me, it's cool. You know, but there have been times when I, you know, even the interviewer has said something and it's like, you know, I have to do this. Hashtag, well, actually, you know, even when it's just me. So it can be challenging at times, but that's part of the fun, I think, in doing that.
Yeah, I feel like if I had to gesture with my hands, they'd be like gestures like this and stuff, like, well, you know, man,
right, meet me in the yes.
So what we not gonna do,
right, we're not gonna do,
it's like, I will meet you in the cafeteria, it's right downstairs. Dog,
I don't think you know what, can you not gesture with your hands, all these these middle fingers and stuff, I don't think that's appropriate for the children. But yeah, you know, also I remember one time I was watching TV, it was like Good Morning America, and just it was just like on Twitter at Raina April says blank. Now, did you know they were gonna use your tweet, or were you as surprised as us?
That they almost never let us know, you know, it beforehand, and that's unfortunate. I mean, I'm happy. It happens a lot, you know, and I don't, you know, I'm not tooting my own horn here, but there are times when my tweets and everybody's tweets, you know, they show up on the Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore, or even using my hashtag, you know, using Oscars for White. I mean, they used it in the Oscars last year,
yep.
You know, and it was everywhere. And so rarely do we get forewarning of that, and typically it's one of my followers on Twitter who says, hey, you know, look, you know, I screenshotted the TV for you, and I'm like, oh, cool, because I was at work, you know, so I would have missed it otherwise, so thank you for sharing that. You know, my issue sometimes comes up with the articles that I use. So if we're talking about Oscar So White, you know, again, it was last year, you know, a lot of articles that said, you know, Twitter came up with the hashtag Oscar So White, and it's like, but it was me, and you know, and I don't necessarily need credit for it, but you know, we can also have sort of that bigger discussion about the erasure of women and Black women, and I mean, it's literally in my bio, so if you wanted to figure out who started it,
you can find
it's not
out.
That hard, and I've done, you know, and if you Google it, you know, I show up because I did a lot of interviews last year. So, you know, I would prefer it. Again, it's not about me. It's about talking about diversity and inclusion in Hollywood. But I would prefer if, you know, we're talking about who created the hashtag, to actually say it was me, even if you don't mention me anywhere else, to say it was me as opposed to, you know, Twitter created it or this was created. You know, be active in your, you know, that's good journalism, right? And it doesn't take that much.
You will but be amazed.
It happens on TV and, you know, and it's exposure, and that's fantastic. But, you know, I want to talk about the issues at the end of the day, you know, and what we're really talking about. And it's not about me, because anybody could have created that hashtag, really.
That's true. And, you know, for me being the non-famey Twitter hashtag person out of the group, experiencing this with Roderick, yes, it's one of those things where people will take things out of context. People, like, you can actually interview people and what you said isn't translated over the same, or people use their own versions of what you said and things like that. So, yeah, it's very interesting when you deal with the quote-unquote media that a lot of times wants to put a spin on everything.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I read one, if you, and this is probably most of us, if you search your name on Twitter and news, like filtered news, on Google, like, so your Twitter name and then go to news, you're probably already in many articles. Like, I know I was, like, I just went Rodimus Prime, went to news, and it's just like and often very misleading. You know, like, I remember when the Bernie So Black thing happened, like, and I have to give a lot of credit to people like April, because people, like, the people who were writing about it actually sought me out to interview me, which is something that did not used to happen, you know. Yeah. So I remember that being like a big thing on Twitter that I was following, and you know, before, this is before I even considered Twitter at how powerful it was, or right, really hashtags or anything like that. So like I would see this fight kind of between journalists and then people on Twitter, mostly black women at the time, and they would be like, yeah, why the fuck didn't you just call us? Like, you already you're writing about this shit, like you came up with it, you didn't, and you, and from reading what you wrote, you didn't understand the nuance of it at all.
Right.
So why didn't you just ask, and then you would have been okay? And so I think when Bernie So Black jumped off, my email was full. It was just, and it was full of people from like reputable news sites, you know, Vox, Huffington Post, fucking, like it was just people that were like, we need to talk to you so we can know what this is actually about. And that didn't happen before. The other part of it is, so many people will write about your hashtag and don't know what it is. So it'll be like, so-and-so smacks down Bernie Sanders, Black Twitter attacks. But, and you're like, that is not what we did. That is not even what it came remotely close to what happened. But now what happens is people read those articles, they see your link to it, and then they just show up on Twitter and they're like, why are you trying to kill Bernie Sanders? I love him. And he marched with Martin Luther King, damn it. It was real to me. And you're just like, I didn't even know this was going to happen. It was a joke. So I do think, you know, the backlash part of it can just get crazy right away.
Your thing was real because you were talking about a specific person. You know, I'm talking about a whole industry. Because your thing was so focused, it did get really ugly for you for a while there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's unfortunate because, you know, I mean, we can talk about the Feel the Burn folks and how they're so passionate about their views, you know, and I've said many times that, you know, if Bernie loses the nomination, it's not his fault. Nope. It's his fans' fault.
Right.
You know, because they have been so
rabid
in their support that they really can't hear what other people are saying. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have to support him. He's the only hope. And it's like, no, you know, there are other choices out there. And I'm not saying that either is better or worse. Right. I'm just saying that with respect to Bernie, you know, it's a different kind of enthusiasm than we had, let's say, for then Senator Barack Obama in 2008. Yes. Because I think we were incredibly passionate, right, but it was much more positive than what I have seen, right, from Bernie supporters. So we'll see how that goes. You know, I don't know if you wanted to talk politics, but it's going to be really interesting.
Well, it's crazy because if you talk shit about Hillary Clinton, you're allowed to do that.
Right.
You know what,
right,
I mean? Like her, she didn't have this rabid fan base of people who are like so just unused to the idea that someone would think something critical of her that they just like, no, but the Bernie Sanders thing comes off so desperate that honestly, that was the thing that kind of turned me off. I was like, oh, he must not have a chance of winning because this is the process.
So desperate in supporting him. That's what right. it is. Yes. It's like, yeah, you can say things about Hillary, but it seems to me, just based on my experience on Twitter, at least, you say people are like searching Bernie's name.
Right.
You
know, they do. They queued up.
So, mm-hmm. you know, they jump in your mentions out of nowhere. It's like, dude, I just said, you know, it was one tweet about whatever, and I didn't even use a hashtag, so I know,
yeah.
you know, you are really looking right. to find something to argue about, and I'm not interested in doing that because, and that's the other thing, the people that are arguing with you who are Bernie supporters are Democrats.
Right.
And we are Democrats, and by and large. So, right. so, you know, we plan to vote for somebody. So the issue is, if Bernie does get the nomination, if you have pissed me off so much, I may not vote at all, or right. what have you, or vote for a Green candidate because of what you've done. So go argue with the Republicans. By arguing with fellow people who may be voters for your candidate, you're really cutting off your nose to spite your face.
It's that Matt Damon Democrat shit, you know, where right. it's like, we're on the same side. You're like, but if we're on the same side, you would let me finish my sentence, you know?
Exactly. All right. Yeah, and I completely agree with you about that. And I think the thing for me is that with the Bernie situation, I've never seen people so frantic about their candidate. Like, you know, to this point to where if you say anything critical, all of a sudden you're dealing with backlash. And I do agree with the fact that you can't tell people, well, if you don't vote for my candidate, you won't vote for you're gonna vote for Hillary. Like you say, people will opt not to vote, and I don't know why people think that's not an option, not voting at all.
Yeah, it sounds like nice guys, quote unquote, TM on Twitter, when you're like, oh, so you just want a thug. Like, that's how the response right. is whenever you're like, yeah, well, you know, I think Bernie could improve in this area. Oh, so who you gonna vote for then, huh? The devil? You gonna vote for Satan? Is that what you gonna do? You're like, yo, I thought.
Right, and then they're bringing up Ben Cosby and Bill's, you know, alleged affairs. And it's like, none of that, you know, you're assuming so much, you know. Right. And I have made it very clear. I am still very, very undecided with respect to what's happening in 2016. And I'm disappointed in all of it, you know. So I've been calling it, like, the hold my nose election. Like, I'm going to vote for somebody, but you know, I'm not really excited about voting for anyone at this point. I just know that, you know, the Democratic platform speaks to me more than the Republican platform does. You know, and so that means that I will probably vote for whomever the nominee is. But, you know, we've had, what, 47 Republican debates, you know, and I don't know how many Democrats. And I'm like, I wanted to be involved because in 2012 I was very involved, you know, in talking about what was going on. And this time around it's like, okay, whatever, just give me who the top two are and I'll make my decision then. But, you know, it's just too much. It's overkill at this point. And no one, you know, I can say that there are people on the Republican side who scare me, but the, you know, when nobody excites me to the point where, you know, I'm going to be, you know, saying that I endorse someone at this point, or that I, you know, that I'm even interested in actively supporting them.
Yeah. And also I think for me, from the outside looking in, and maybe it's just because I look at a lot of things from the view of race, you have a lot of Republicans telling me you're not nothing but a nigger, I don't care anything about you, and any policies and procedures that directly affect you, particularly a woman, we don't care about. And then you have people, quote unquote, on your side going, well, you ain't nothing but a nigger, or niggers who we tell you to vote for, because if you don't vote for who we tell you to vote for, because we're more intelligent than you and you're not smart enough and bright enough and articulate enough to make your own voting decisions, you go, well, Buffy, y'all, both parties are calling me a nigger right now. I don't understand this concept.
You know what? Let's talk some movie news, okay?
Okay.
Kerry Washington is about to be in a movie for HBO called Confirmation, where she's going to be playing Anita Hill, which we just talked about on the show. By the way, you guys should all check out that documentary. I think it's on Netflix, but who knows? I got a screener. You know what I'm saying? Hey, it came to my house, but you know.
See, you roll when you talk about me, you're a baller. I don't care.
Famous, I know.
For you regular guys, you know, find a way.
Waving his fame around in front of us.
But that documentary was dope, because, it really reminded me, especially now as an adult, how much the gender and racial politics were at play at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like I'm always getting, like, woke up to shit now. Because, like, when I was a kid, I didn't think about it. And it did happen when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I had a, you know, a pretty cool dad. So he wasn't like, bitch, lying, trying to bring down a black man. You know, like, lucky I didn't grow up in one of them houses.
Right.
But the vast majority of people I know did grow up in one of them houses. So that was what, that was, like, the thing that I heard was always, like, see these sisters out here turning on a black man. And, you know, needless to say, this black dude is not, what most people consider an exemplary, representative of the black people. He doesn't seem to have a lot of blackness on mind, but he definitely played the race card during the, during this nomination.
Yeah. Like, high-tech lynching was the phrase that he used.
Exactly. Yes. A guy who now goes, look, man, race ain't got nothing to do with this.
At all.
With anything. Affirmative action is bullshit. But when
he is just a disappointment.
Yes.
He is just a bag of cells that just should not have ever been, you know, why, Jesus?
Yeah, it's amazing.
He doesn't speak at all when he's on the bench.
Right.
And then when he does say things, they're so incendiary and inflammatory and wrong, yes, that it's like, no, just go back to being quiet. You know, it's just, right, you're not helping. It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so unbelievably bad. And I mean, you know, it wasn't just in household. I mean, that was nationwide. You know, Anita Hill, you know, and all of her, you know, all of her background was dragged into it. And, mm-hmm, you know, she is trying to bring down a prominent black man, and look at us now, you know, and, right, and I will say I was one of those who was, you know, concerned about her veracity, and I, right, was wrong. Mm-hmm. I was just way, way wrong. You know, and I think I apologized on Twitter. Said, I'm sorry, Anita Hill, you know, because I should have really, you know, the pubic hair on the Coke can, and,
yeah,
you know, and now it's like, hell yeah, I could see him doing something like that. You know, there's no question in my mind,
yeah,
that actually happened. You know, and you look and his wife, right, and his wife called,
yes,
you know, at one point requiring a, you know, an apology, and it's like, girl, that's how
the documentary started. I think the documentary name is Anita, and that's exactly how it starts, with that voicemail, and it's just so entitled, you know, it's just, he did that shit anyway. Yeah. So I'm
hoping that Kerry Washington killed it. I've seen the pictures,
yeah,
and she looks, you know, really good.
Now,
you know,
see,
based on the way Anita Hill looked back then,
when I first heard it, I hope it's
in a good point of view for us.
When I first heard it, I was like, okay, but who's playing Clarence Thomas? Because, see, the thing is,
okay,
for me, you know, I enjoy these, you know, these, like, movies. Like, I enjoy What's Love Got to Do with It.
Me too.
But I really enjoyed it because of Lawrence Fishburne's portrayal of Ike Turner. Yeah.
Which was, you bad. Know,
it took,
yes,
it to the next level. Like,
yes,
it already was a compelling story, but then when you throw in Ike Turner as Lawrence Fishburne and Ike Turner, you're like, oh, okay, so it's on. Wendell Pierce is going to play Clarence Thomas, y'all.
He's good.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
I can't wait to see this now. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
And he is incredibly woke. You know, if you, mm-hmm, look at the things that he's done for New Orleans and Katrina and just the things that he's spoken out about on, mm-hmm, Twitter, I really like him as a person and as an actor. So, you know, and he was great as Bunk on the Wire. I mean, that's probably where we know, most people know him best from. So I'm looking forward. I think Anita Hill, with, you know, Kerry Washington and Wendell Pierce, I think it's going to be good.
Yep. Mm. Jeffrey Wright is going to be in it.
Oh.
Jennifer Hudson going to be in it. You know, she might be able to sing, but hey.
They might make a musical out of
it. She's going to do her thing. But yeah, I'm in, man. So yeah, this, sorry, it's going to be pretty black too.
We may have to live tweet it as a family.
You know what?
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah, when it come out, guarantee you people.
I'll commit to that.
People be live tweeting it.
Cause that's a.
I make the time for that.
Yeah. Cause the other thing too, you know, it's going to kind of be funny. Cause what the fuck is going to be funny too, as Clarence Thomas.
Especially for those people who don't know the story and, you know, who may have been younger than I am, because me and Cicely Tyson used to hopscotch together. So, but for those people who are much younger and who may not remember the confirmation hearings and that kind of thing, I think it'll be eye-opening, you know, especially when you can now relate it back to some of the things that he said today.
Now, I still feel like April lied about her age, but it's cool. You know, we don't have to get into it on the show right now, but, you know.
No, you can get into it. That's
I don't know.
I'm almost 46. That's fine. I don't mind saying.
No, I feel like you're running away from some type of past, and you're really like, you really like 25, 30, and you just up here perpetrating. It's cool.
I wish my life was that exciting, but my children will tell you that I am old as dirt and, you know, just as relevant. So.
All right. I'm not going to blow your cover, but you're not fooling me taking pictures with Big Daddy Kane. You're not fooling me to thinking that you and Big Daddy Kane are on the same level.
At least you know I'm not catfish. I take enough
that's true.
I'm out there.
That's true.
It is me, whoever you think I am.
Yeah.
And kids' votes don't count because everybody over 10 is old to a child. So
yeah,
I would
card April is what I'm saying, guys. If she, if she came in an ABC store, I'd be like, come on, ma'am, this is obviously a fake ID. abstinence pledgers, you know, people that pledge that they will not have sex until marriage, Abstinence pledgers have a higher risk of HPV and non-marital pregnancies, according to scienceblog.com. A new study led by the University of Massachusetts Amherst sociologist, y'all said it right, finds that sexually active teenage girls who took a pledge of abstinence were at a higher risk, risk of contracting human papillomavirus and having non-marital pregnancies than those who did not take such a pledge.
I wonder why.
The study.
I mean, we got Bristol Palin to, you know, she's the abstinence queen, right? She just had her second out of wedlock child, and there's nothing wrong with having out of wedlock children.
Right.
But don't shame people and then turn around and, you know, do the exact opposite of what you're preaching and getting paid handsomely to do so. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars is from my understanding. So it just, you know, it's the hypocrisy that bothers me. You know, have your life. If that's how you want to live, good for you, girl. But stop telling other people what to do if you're not following your own advice.
Essentially, they said that they did data. They got data from more than 3,000 teenage girls originally interviewed in 1994 and 95, who are now adults and part of an ongoing national longitudinal study on adolescent to adult health. The researchers found that because virginity pledgers are more likely to receive cultural messages downplaying the effectiveness of condoms and contraceptives and be exposed to the framing of premarital activity as a form of failure, girls and young women who take abstinence pledges but later break them may be less prepared to manage the risk associated with sexual activity by obtaining condoms and contraceptives themselves, or less apt to initiate conversations about precautions with their partners.
Right.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense, because if you know, if you get the little purity ring and you tell your parents, you know, I'm not going to have any premarital sex whatsoever, then they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, I don't need to have that conversation with you. And then, you know, whatever happens, prom night or, you know, whatever happens and you decide to make that choice, hopefully it's consensual, you know, with your young partner, then maybe you're not ready, because, you know, it happens all the time and you're not carrying condoms in your purse at all times because you didn't expect it to happen and you've taken this purity pledge. So that's the issue. And I think there's also an issue with respect to STDs. You know, they say, okay, I'm not going to have premarital sex. But then there's the discussion about what that covers and doesn't cover, right? So perhaps they're engaging in fellatio, but they're not engaging in vaginal penetration. Or perhaps they're having anal sex, because that's not real sex. But diseases are being transmitted that way as well, because there's no penis vaginal, you know, intercourse in that sense. So, you know, I don't remember, well, 20 years ago I was so old, so I don't remember purity pledges that way, but I think that they are very dangerous, you know, because everybody slips up, and who slips up more than teenagers? You know, the hormones are raging, and, you know, maybe you're drinking and you shouldn't be, and you're, you know, and things just happen, and peer pressure that hopefully we're not experiencing in our 30s and our 40s, and so things happen, and so I think that you should always be prepared. I mean, I have a 16-year-old son, and, you know, we have those conversations probably more than he'd like. Right. It's like that you have to be careful about your future and the future of whoever that girl is that you're hanging out with, you know, because I don't want some, you know, some father showing up at my door, you know, with his hand in my face because you, you know, weren't prepared or didn't do what you were supposed to be doing, because we know it's going to happen, you know, and I think that it's important that we are realistic with our teen kids, you know, and those that we love with respect to sexual activity, you know, and just, so if you're going to do it, protect yourself. I mean, that's sort of my mantra. I would prefer that you didn't, but, you know, if you're going to do it, make sure, you know, wrap it up, you know, make sure it's very, you know, let's talk about consent and, you know, affirmative consent throughout the process and all the rest of that stuff. You know, and then, you know, God be with you, and I'm just gonna, you know, curl up in the fetal position. And
it's kind of like, also framing it as failure makes it sound like cheating on your diet. So like people can just kind of go, yes, I had sex, but my plan is to not have sex again, so I don't need to prepare for the next time. And I also don't need to get on any birth control. I don't need to get any protection, because it's not gonna happen again. And it happens again, and it happens again, you know. So that's part of it. And then also, it's so sad that so much of this is rooted in this idea of parental comfortability. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to avoid this awkward talk. And obviously your kid doesn't really want to have this awkward talk either. So then we kind of talk around it with this idea of like, well, you have the talk, but the talk is really you telling them that if they touch their genitals, they're going to die. And then, right. And then that's it. And then that's the last time. But I feel like, at least for my childhood, with my dad, it was like a series of talks, and it's
age appropriate too.
Yeah. And it's never really over. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think on the sitcom version of this, you talk about it one time and then that's it.
And
right,
that's it.
You know, and then that's it. But you know, with my dad,
and they get it, right, and they get it, and they're listening, right?
Exactly.
They're engaged and they're listening. Okay, dad, I've got it, you know. And then the 22 minutes of the show are over, and you know, and never to be discussed again. And it's like, right. Like, you have to have that discussion monthly. You know, and it's like, you know, and you get the rolled eyes, and you know, and it's like, okay, I know you don't want to hear, I don't want to say it. Like, I would much rather be doing something else other than telling you, you know, other than having to come to the realization that my child, you know, is growing up and doing things that adults do, right? Yes. I don't want to have that discussion either, but I would rather be embarrassed and uncomfortable and know that I've at least told you a gazillion times, so maybe, you know, when push comes to shove or whatever, you do have a condom in your pocket, mm-hmm. or, you know, you're deciding to wait, you know, because you're, you know, you don't really, really, really like that girl, and so, you know, if something bad happens, you're not connected with her, you know what I mean? And yeah. I shouldn't say something bad. If something unexpected happens, right? Then you're, you know, you're not tied to that woman for the rest of your life, that young woman, because you know, they're high schoolers too. You know, so we do it, you know, and it has to happen. I think it's so important. Right. And I think the kids who don't have someone in their life, you know, who can have, you know, whether it's an uncle or an aunt or a parent or, you know, someone at church, you know, everybody should be having that conversation repeatedly.
Right.
Because I think that matters.
Yeah.
I really think that matters.
My dad used to remind me, dog, he'd be like, now see you around there with that little girl, you know. It was funny and comical, but it was also serious, which is like, if you are fucking, like, let me know if you need condoms, you need something. Like, don't just be out here, you know, you're already kind of clumsy.
Wilding out.
Yeah, like, I'm already clumsy. I drop glasses in the sink. He's like, that could be a baby. You know what I mean? Like,
you tossing in the sink.
Yeah, you need to have a plan, dude. You're not, you know, your hands ain't
mature.
That good. You definitely gonna leave it in. Karen, what were you gonna say?
The thing about it is that children, the more you educate your children, the better decisions they can make outside of your sight.
Right.
And it's amazing how many parents don't understand that. They think the less educated you are and the more I hide from you, you're gonna make good decisions based off of quote unquote my morale. But your morale has nothing to do with that child when, you know, they're horny. You know, they have to make a realistic decision. And it's also, like what April said, it's amazing how many children don't know what sex is, because all these other forms of sex are also sex.
Right. Well, it's not in the Bible sex. Can't make a baby, Karen, so it don't count. God can't see in the butt. Pleasures. Pleasures who have had more than one sexual partner had a higher prevalence for HPV, with the greatest risk found in women who had 6 to 10 sexual partners, as pleasures in that statistical universe had a 51% rate of being HPV positive, whereas only 33% of pledgers were found to be HPV positive. So if they didn't take the pledge, they were probably more likely to use protection during sex,
right,
and less likely, therefore, to end up with HPV. The study also found that about 30% of pledgers, but only 18% of non-pledgers, experienced a non-marital pregnancy within 6 years after their first sexual intercourse, and that pledging was associated with an increase in the risk of non-marital pregnancy by slightly more than 50%. So, yeah, man, you know, good luck, man. If I was these kids and I got pregnant, and I had these religious parents that didn't want to talk to me and stuff, I tell them that God got me pregnant like Mary, you know, cause like, who are they to say that that's not what happened? You know, mm-hmm. I thought you was teaching me. You don't believe in miracles no more? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. See, I learned from you.
Right, and then you get those situations where you send the girl away. Like, do they still do that? Where they send the girl away, and then the baby comes back, and all of a sudden it's the mother's baby, so the girl is now the sister of the her own child.
Yeah, that's what happens.
It happens all the time. All right, let's see. Oh, this is a rumor, but we don't know for sure. But
I love rumors.
We're gonna break it up, break it right here on the show.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg might be about to get divorced, man. His wife might have dropped him like it's hot.
Oh shit, I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know
how that's interesting, because she has said in the past, you know, that she knows sometimes he steps out, but you know, but he comes back, you know, and then she's the bottom, you know what. And you know, and so it seemed like they had an understanding. So I don't know that infidelity is necessarily the issue here. Maybe she's
I don't know, that might be other things.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they almost got divorced in 2004 when she thought that she had had enough. They've been together for nearly 20 years. They've been married. They've been together since high school. But as always, you can tell she was going through it because of the gram. She put it on the Instagram.
Not the Instagram.
Oh, no.
The Instagram is the devil.
It is what it is, Karen. Instagram ain't nothing but a reflection of what's inside you anyway. What's a queen without her king? Well, historically speaking, more powerful was a picture that she posted. Mm. And then her caption was all the single ladies. And then she had the emoji with the arm flexing like this and the kissy face.
Oh, shit. Now it gets real when you use emojis.
Mm-hmm. Kissy face emoji. I know what that means. She also put, she also put a picture that said, be with someone who will take care of you, not materialistically, but take care of your soul, your well-being, your heart, and everything that's you. And then she put body and soul, heart emoji.
That sounds kind of serious. I am on social media all the time, but I find it really interesting how much people share and overshare on social media about their personal stuff. Like, so, you know, I'll tell you about my kids and how they drive me crazy, but I don't use their names typically, you know, or, you know, my husband is Mr. April, you know, and that's all you're going to get. And I'm not living out, you know, what goes on in this house online, you know, and I think that's detrimental, you know, to relationships, to put it out there, because that needs, I mean, clearly you have Snoop's number, you know,
right.
So you are his wife. So if you're having an issue with Snoop and he's not taking care of you emotionally, then that's a discussion that perhaps you and he and maybe a counselor or a therapist needs to have, not 40,000 strangers on the gram or on, you know, and we see it over and over and over again, not just with them, but with all public figures. And it's like, I really feel like you need to keep something for you.
But I can't.
You know, and that people don't do that.
But like, favorite, or retweet any of your therapy session counselors. So I'm on the side of y'all telling y'all business because, you know, I need this show so we can live.
And I think it's a generational thing too. Because you talking about
Boss Lady, you talking about Snoop wife?
Well, she old like us.
Yeah.
But I do think that a lot of old people try to be cool too. So that's why I say it's a generational thing where if you talk to anybody that's like 25 and under, they had grew up in a generation where they've had the internet. They've always had cell phones. You know, you talking to a generation where everything about their lives has already been public. Everything about their lives has already been tracked. And it's one of those things where as a parent, you kind of have to teach your child like to not put everything out there, but it's almost like it's almost pre-designed for them to be quote unquote open and honest with everything about their lives, and a lot of times to their detriment in certain situations. But it's one of those things where years ago it was more frowned upon. You know how black people are, don't be talking about shit outside my house,
right?
You know, but you have people who aren't brought up kind of like that, so to them this is normal.
Well, I'm gonna just say this. And I can't speak for April's relationship, you know, but I think we could all be speaking from a place of good relationship privilege.
True.
Because when shit is fucked up, maybe people can't help it, because sometimes you see the same people that be like, don't tell your business, keep it to yourself. And then, you know, something go wrong and they be on Twitter like, give it all right now.
And giving in clap like, back emojis.
Yeah, I'm like, you just had said. You know what? Maybe I just don't get it. I haven't been that emotionally distraught or whatever, and while also being on social media at this point in my life,
right? Because I know I would have did the same thing. You caught me at 17. See, I probably would have posted shit too. I'm not trying to be funny. When you're young, you're irrational and illogical. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, you know, they wrote in their journal, they told their friends, they went out. But I got social media now.
But Karen, for the right, she not young.
No, she's not young.
So I'm saying, even in our peer group, I've seen people where I'm like, well, you said not to say, but okay, cool. I wonder if we're just very fortunate to not even find ourselves in this situation. Cause I'm gonna be honest with y'all.
True.
I don't want to know what I would do.
Me either.
To be real, I don't want to know. And I would much rather prefer, if ignorance is bliss, let me be blissful. And everybody else
but
can
the
tell
rest of us watching you and Karen would be like the Birdman handrail.
Exactly.
I said a thousand times, I'm very thankful that there was no social media when I was in college, because Lord knows, there were things that should not have been broadcast, and I was probably with some people who were not trustworthy, who I probably couldn't have trusted to keep those photos or that relationship or whatever on the DL as I wanted it at the time. I think Karen's right that it is generational, and so even for us, for older folks, we're still on Twitter all the time or on social media, and that's how we share, and so there are times when you just sort of have to pull back and be like, that's going in the Library of Congress. Like, do you really want
forever?
And the internet is forever. You can delete it, but somebody knows how to find it. And so you have to, and so that's something else that I tell my kids, because they both have phones. And, and they have more apps and whatever that I even know exist. So it's like, you need to be very careful about Kick and Snapchat and Periscope and all the rest of the things that you do. Because especially for my son who's in high school, it's like, colleges are looking. They do that now. Colleges are searching for your profiles on social media. Yep. And we have seen kids lose their scholarships, lose their offers because of stuff that they have done on social media. Yep. So don't fight as hard as you're fighting, to get the good grades, to be the great athlete, and then screw it up because he said something stupid on Facebook. Don't throw your shot away because Lord knows we can't pay for you to go on your own. Right. So don't screw it up for us either. So you have to be mindful. And again, with kids, there's a certain maturity or immaturity there, and it's like, think what you're saying before you say it. Think, before you put it out there. Right. And unfortunately, when you're in the heat of the moment and you're emotional and you're realizing that your whatever 20-year relationship is about to blow up and you're looking for sympathy, perhaps you try to find it in those thousands and thousands of followers, because I'm sure all of the comments under her IG post are, girl, we knew he wasn't nothing and, we love you and whatever. And we all look for validation, in various ways. And I think you're lying if you say that you don't. Whatever that means for you, we all look for it somehow. And so, we want that immediate interaction. So maybe her girls weren't awake at 3 a.m. when she posted that or whatever. And so, she just wanted somebody to talk to. So I get it. I just think it could end up being unfortunate.
Right. Because, it's just one of those things where, we do this and me and Roger delete our tweets and be back together next week and be looking at y'all crazy. But, it's just because people get back together all the time. So that's why when people fall out, I don't comment or nothing like that, because people have broke up over some fucked up shit and the next 2 weeks they lovey-dovey again. So my opinion don't matter because I don't have to live their relationship. Mm-hmm. And also, I hope if something happens, I am rational enough to close my laptop and turn off my phones and walk away.
Nah, not me. If something happens and it ain't my fault, I'm telling. I'm telling y'all now.
I'm telling.
If y'all see me tweeting like
shit. Good luck, Karen. Good luck.
I know, right?
I'm telling everybody. I want everybody to unfollow and block you. You got to treat
me. We gonna make the kids choose.
Yeah, I want people got to treat me. I want people to know up front to treat me well, because I'm a petty, bitter type of Like, so I would put syrup and eggs and breakfast all on your windshield of your car while you in the house sleeping. Like, that's the kind of person I am. So treat me well up front.
Oh, Lord.
Well,
then I might need to change. I'm about to say, I might need to.
Are you aware of all this? I feel like stuff is coming out right now.
I might need to change my strategy then.
No, that's what happens though, because when you see the people talking, it's always the person that got done wrong. Like Snoop Dogg ain't tweeting through this. You know what I mean? Snoop out here like,
smart.
Yeah, you know, when Wiz Khalifa got caught cheating, he had nothing to say on Twitter. It was all Amber Rose. Like, that's how it works. And then, you know, it's sad that they're tweeting because, you know, obviously people are going to use it against them somehow. But I guess I feel a little empathy for these people because it's got to suck, man. And I don't know how you had a discipline to not talk about it. You just gotta hope you do, but so I ain't gonna front. I probably wouldn't have a discipline if I got done wrong to just not talk about it. I tell. She put true love is about.
Oh Lord, I'm gonna treat you right then, huh, sir?
I'm just saying. I treat you right. We should treat each other right.
Yes,
you know?
It's not a problem on either side, but you know, I ain't trying to fuck up.
I'm just saying somewhere Snoop reading this like, that's about right. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, he can't be mad. True love is about giving. If you are not ready to give, then stay at home. If you're too bitter or jaded to see that love is about giving, stay inside. Our generation fails at relationships because we have unrealistic expectations on dating. We go into it judging people based off of what they can do for us. Longevity and happiness inside of relationships occur in time when people are allowed to be their natural selves with support and kindness. At some point, we have to realize that the preference we have could be killing our ability to have a solid relationship. That was a picture, and then underneath she put "just right for me" smiley face. She had another picture.
Oh, that's a lot. She needs to tweet. That was too many characters. I got bored.
She need that 10,000 characters. She put a man. She put a picture of Jay-Z kissing Beyonce. That says it's a meme that says a man isn't going to leave what he knows he isn't going to find again. And then she put "can't let go." And last one.
How many posts were there?
Five. This is the last one.
Wow.
A picture of Tupac that says you. Oh, sorry. Hold on. All right, here we go.
You need a minute?
Yeah. I just couldn't imagine being like, let me find this meme with Tupac so I can talk about Karen. Anyway. You gotta be able to smile through all the bullshit. And it's a picture of Tupac not smiling. So like, what does this even mean?
I have no idea.
Are there no smiling pictures of Tupac or what is going on? And then people are commenting on the side, you know, hand clap emoji, say it, help me figure this out, kissy face. People are tagging other people to it. Like, look what Snoop Dogg does.
Come on over here, girl.
Oh, this is so bad. Anyway.
Meanwhile, on Instagram. Yippee-ki-yo, yippee-ki-yo.
All right, let's get into, some guest the race, guys. All right. We've been talking for a while. I feel like we don't need to do fucking with black people after we did, Oscars So White.
The Oscars was enough. In my personal opinion, I mean, not unless you want to cover a story or two that you really want to talk about.
I mean, black people have been fucked with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'll do? Let's do a couple. All right. RZA, you guys might know. Yes, you guys might recognize.
Of course, I'm out for Shaolin.
Who you might know?
I'm so disappointed.
Look, the 37th chamber of the Wu-Tang is respectability politics. Okay, a lot of people didn't know that because knew about the 36, but the 37. Okay, RZA wanted to clarify his controversial comments on how black men should dress to avoid getting killed by the cops. So I don't think we even played his original commentary on the show. Karen, did we play the original comments? Well, you said that black people need to.
No, you talking about.
Okay, I'll play it. I'll play it.
Mumble mouth to get all them roles.
Oh, yeah. I feel like if he really believed all that, he owes me so much money for these movies.
Right, them terrible ass movies.
All right, here's him talking about it. Let me see if I can get the volume up on this. Do I got it muted? Oh, that's why it's a Twitter video.
Watch him on.
right, here we go.
If you think if a cop, and every time I see a young black youth, whether I watch them on TV, movies, or just see them hanging out, and they looking, they're not looking, you know, properly dressed, properly refined, you know, carrying themselves, conducting themselves proper hours of the day, things that a man does, you know what I mean? You're gonna have a certain kind of fear and stereotype of them.
What the fuck?
My favorite part of that video is that dude who
recorded. So say we all at the end there. Yeah. You know, and I said on Twitter, I mean, RZA is really picking up where Cosby left off with respect to respectability politics. Like, there was a vacuum there, and he said, let me go ahead and step in there and fill that. You know? And
I'm old,
so
I'm black.
Unfortunate.
I like that. I like that he's so woo-wear for a while. And none of those were slacks, you know what I'm saying? Like, those weren't khakis and button-ups. Anyway,
so mm-hmm. when I listen,
look at the irony, look at the hypocrisy, and that's right. The thing, you know. And yeah, I think this has been going on for a few years now with him and maybe even some other members of Wu. You know, but it's like you become, I don't know if it's that you become older and you forget, or I don't know if it's an age thing or maybe a money thing, age. You know what I mean? Because it's not just that. I mean, you know, we can talk about Raven Simone and Whoopi Goldberg, and there's so many who have disappointed us with respect to respectability politics. I mean, Raven Simone, you know, was talking about black women's names and how they're so, you know, so-called non-traditional. It's like, but girl, you've got an accent on your name that you don't even use. Right. Like, you know, and your brother's name is Blaze with an I, you know, right. So that's not traditional either. And I'm sure that Oprah and Condoleezza and Barack would like a word, because it, you know, it may be a little more difficult, but they have still surmounted all of those issues that you're speaking of. As have you. You know, Raven Simone is not a traditional, you know, and yet you're going to clap back. And so Raven Simone actually had us agreeing with Ann Coulter on The View. And was that not a dark day? Like, you know, of all things, of all people, I need to, you know, agree with the fact, you know, agree with Ann Coulter on a point. You know, it took a little bit of my soul that day.
Yeah.
So all of them, you know, there's so many, you know, we could talk about Jill Scott, whose music I absolutely love, you know, but her caping for Cosby, you know, and, you know, we gotta wait and see, and, you know, and he's a bastion of the black community. And it's like, well, my goodness, you know, wasn't Beverly Johnson, who, you know, broke all kinds of barriers for black women in the modeling world, wasn't she also a bastion in the black community? So how are you going to decide, you know, with whom you're going to rock? You know, you choose him over 50 women, you know, and so it's, there are times when I just want, you know, I don't want any of my faves to be on social media because they disappoint me so often.
Right.
And there's a balance there. There's Jesse Williams, you know, most known from Grey's Anatomy, who is so woke, you know, and who doesn't hesitate to call people out, you know, and there are others as well. So there's a little bit of a balance, but it's like all of my specials, all of my faves have, you know, or not all, but many have let me down because, you know, either they've forgotten or they haven't thought things through, or, you know, the money is clouding the judgment. I'm not sure. But, you know, I don't know how to fix that.
Well, our girl, Amanda Steinberg, woke as shit, too. I love her.
That little girl, yes.
Yeah. Karen, what were we going to say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think age and money, because there's a lot of quote-unquote old people that forget that they dressed like whatever the time was, but for some reason now, all of a sudden, because you're quote-unquote not the youth, that the kids are wrong for doing the same shit that you do, and also people's, like I said, financially, you're not in the same place, so now you can afford more, you can do more, so now you turn around and look frown upon and look down upon the people that were in your same situation at that time, which may not have had
your younger self, you are turning your back on your younger self, and what does that mean?
It's Ghostface.
Ghostface Killer was in the Wu-Tang. He had to keep his face covered in the Method Man video because he had a warrant. He wasn't supposed to be out doing that shit. Like, this is your crew, you know what I'm saying? Like,
come on now.
It's just so wild. He tweeted about it after, you know, of course, being called all kinds of names. How can an original black man be an original black man?
Original. He's the first. Oh,
that's what so I'm your name's not Adam, fam. You're right. Not Jesus. Where, like, how, you know, where, how original can you be? You part right. of the woo. And God bless the woo. You right. know, all day.
Right. Every day. Right.
He said, how can an original black man be a coon and sellout? You best look deep into my words and make an assessment. Do you still think pork is healthy? I don't expect agreement what? With everything I say. I speak honestly from my own perspective and evaluation from my space-time experience. I can
never... Space-time experience.
He went full hook up. Listen, you're not going to slander bacon on my watch, number one. You know, let's go there. We're not, you know, I'm going to eat my ribs, and yeah, I don't think healthy or not, you're going to die. If I'm going to die delicious. Thank right. you. We're not doing that. But how that is even relevant to pulling up your pants, I can wear a 3-piece suit and eat bacon, you know, like, I'm still gonna have ham for Christmas dinner, and we dress up for dinner, for, you know, so yeah. like, where are you going with that? It's like, he just threw everything in there, and it became very ashy and Hotepian to me, so, you know, I think he's trying to backtrack, you know, and sort of, he called back some of the things that he said, but it's really, it's
you know what? That's your space-time experience, April. But when it comes down to the space-time experience that he puts down on his resume, next to job experience, he disagrees. He says, I can never condone police brutality in any form of injustice and oppression. Knowledge of self means studying self to improve self-peace. I'm not condemning the kids for their garments. We live. We should learn and evolve. What are we, men of 21 or 41? Yeah, yeah, man. Enough RZA badgering for the day. Add a button-up shirt to your wardrobe. Jesus. Of course, black.
He ended there. Like, you know, so you say all of that, but then you're telling people to go put on an Oxford shirt when, you know, you are 6 months away from Kluge sweaters. I mean, let's be real.
And his last comment. Of course, Black Lives Matter, .. all lives matter. God damn it, RZA. Come on, man. Dude. Oh, you don't even, you can't even talk.
That's my whole
100 for me. I give him 100. I feel fucked with.
Right, the same person that 100. Police would probably, the same police you defended would arrest you too.
Yeah, all right. Let's do Guess the Race. And we will do the song. For Guess the Race, where's my music? As soon as I can find it, that would help. Oh, okay, here we go.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going all across podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, April, to guess the race, and the chat room plays along, and the chat room is racist.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel, guys, okay? That's right, they pay for this shit. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Make sure you step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Don't forget, Valentine's Day is coming up. You have less than a month. No, a little over a month to get with, you know, somebody if you're not with somebody, to impress the person that you're with that's probably thinking about dumping you before Valentine's Day because they got you Christmas gifts and now it's like, what's the point of all this bullshit? Make sure that you make it worth their while to keep you around. Get shaved up, dog. You can go to getbevel.com, G-E-T-B-E-V-E-L, .com, and you can end up getting you a starter kit that comes with a safety razor, shaving brush, blades, priming oil, shaving cream, and cool restoring balm. It all smells good. You'll look good. You'll feel good. You'll never have razor bumps again, which, you know, as black people is something we've gotten a little too accustomed to. All right. Now, I'm not trying to be all RZA on you, but you know, police are pulling people over for razor bumps. What are they supposed to think? So make sure you guys get 20% off using code TBGWT at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com, code TBGWT. All right. Let's get into some racism. Here's one. A Kentucky woman bites her husband's face off. Wait, not off. Bites his face over a argument that was about Hillary Duff.
Oh.
Oh, come on now. And as you said, it was over chicken. This would have been harder. I'm going to go with Becky for that one.
Okay, so April's already going white. I'm going to play, it's like a 51-second news clip. We'll play that in case you guys want to guess.
Ethan Husker does not dispute the fact that him and his wife had a disagreement about Hillary Duff, which led to her biting him. What he does dispute is the reason he called police. Lester says he feared for his wife's well-being.
The 911 call states, I was afraid that she may hurt herself.
When sheriff's deputies arrived on scene and heard what happened, they decided to take Brandy Lester to jail. Lester does not believe that should have happened, saying his wife is not a criminal or violent. He blames hard times on the dispute.
Me and my wife has, of course, been on edge, as most families are. Around the holidays, it's tough. I'm unemployed at the current moment, looking for work. And I guess it just took one simple misunderstanding.
Oh, that was the whole thing. Okay, well, April's on record as saying that she believes Brandy Lester is a white woman. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. White, says Jamar. Who the F is Hillary Duff? White. She won an Oscar, I believe, for $1 Million Baby, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that wasn't Hillary Duff, was it? That was the other one. Hillary Duff is I thought she was the child star. You're thinking Hillary Swank.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I wonder what that's what the argument was, by the way. It was, is Hillary Duff Hillary Swank? And his wife bit his face.
She was like, you ought to know the difference.
She was like, you know what? I don't appreciate your attitude, and straight up bit him in his face. I bet she tweeted about it on Instagram.
But the fact that he then called the cops because he was afraid she was going to hurt herself. No, bruh. She was coming after you. Like, right. You know, she didn't close herself up in a room with some weapons or something. She came after you. So I don't think she seemed just fine with respect to self-care.
Yeah, right. doesn't that sound like some masculinity fragile move though, where you're like, where it's like, no, see player, see, you need to get your story right. I wasn't worried about her hurting me. All right, now don't look at my bite mark on my face. But what I'm saying is, I was like, you're gonna hurt yourself trying to hurt me because I'm so strong. It's like hitting a brick wall. So I called the police. Nah, yeah, that wasn't tears from my eyes. When I was on the phone, no, I had a reaction to an allergy. So that's.
But you see how close? I mean, she was all like literally in his face to be able to bite it. Like, can you not keep her at arm's length? If you see her coming in with the incisors bared, like, at what point do you say, you know, she could have thrown a jab easier than he had to get all in his face to bite him? So it's interesting all around, but I'm still going to that.
He was just worried she was gonna hurt herself. That's all. Whiter than RZA's sensibilities, Trailer Park Becky and Bubba White. Thanks Obama White. Couch Burner UK fans White. Wife clap back was on the 1 and 3. White married to his cousin White. Thought Lizzie McGuire was Hannah Montana. Why do I know these White? Swank as white as Cadet Kelly. Oh, okay, y'all corrected my swank thing. My bad. I tanked. Hillary tanked. Anyway, the correct answer is, and everybody got it right, she's white.
Oh, hi.
Mm-hmm. I know that pick.
She looks very regretful in that pick, by the way. She like, why did I bite his face? I knew that was... It's the one thing I like about him. A rapper was withdrawing some money from a bank in Buckhead, Atlanta. And there's a misunderstanding that ended up to the cops putting the gun in his face and putting the cuffs on him.
Oh, shit.
Yep. I know about this story. He was definitely black. As you said, you got to make these harder. You should have said musician or something. I mean, obviously, if it's not Eminem. But, you know, but overall, I mean, the fact that, or Snow, are we still, can we count Snow? You know, but the fact
Vanilla
that
Ice.
This man was withdrawing money from his own bank account. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that it's like, so we're not even allowed to have our own money? You know, like back in the day, it was, oh, well, you got to keep your money in your mattress because you can't trust the banks. And so he put his money in the bank, and he's still getting arrested. It's like, you know, okay, so that's banking while black now, I guess.
Well, we'll see what the answer is, okay? A rapper's Friday afternoon detainment outside of a Buckhead bank was the product of a witness's limited and conflicting description of a forgery suspect. According to the post on his social media accounts, black youngster, birth name Sam Benson, went to Wells Fargo on Friday afternoon and withdrew $200,000 in cash. He must be doing pretty well.
Listen, and I've never heard of him, so good for him. God bless.
Yeah.
Independent artist.
Maybe he is white. I mean, if we never heard of him, he got 200K.
Right.
Where is he getting all this money from? Police sworn as he walked through the parking lot. I came out the bank, and I see the police. I'm walking to my car. I see one of them point to my bag like him. They come bum rushing me at the car, put me on the ground. Benson posted a photo of himself being handcuffed on social media, writing, "Look how they treat a young, rich expletive." Wonder what that expletive was.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that is the most amazing selfie skills in the world.
Right.
He had his...
I was going to ask, who took that picture?
Right. Did he, like, throw the camera to somebody, like, hurry up?
Right.
He posted it himself, so, like, all right. Atlanta police admitted Benson and his entourage were detained briefly, but added that
there
it was,
you go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Briefly, guys.
That's who took the picture. Somebody from the entourage.
The entourage. Yeah, there we go.
That makes sense now.
Because
that's a magnificent selfie stick.
Yeah, maybe it was white youngster that took the picture. So they added that it was all a misunderstanding. Sergeant Warren Picard said someone from the bank called 911 to report a man attempting to cash a forged check for $24,000. The caller description was limited and conflicting, but information about a possible suspect vehicle was relayed to the officers. The car, Benson's, was stopped. It was quickly discovered that the person providing the description to the police had provided the wrong description of the suspect. It was determined that the occupants of the vehicle were not involved, and they were immediately released. Picard said the witness later identified another man, 39-year-old Charles Darnell Edward, as the alleged check forger. He was arrested and charged with first-degree forgery. The incident did not directly involve black youngster, nor was he accused of committing a crime, said Picard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like that Sergeant Warren Picard had to say black youngster in a serious sentence.
With a straight face.
Yeah. Benson, a Memphis, Tennessee native, was signed last year to the Collective Music Group label, founded by rapper Yo Gotti. Oh, shit. He told WXIA TV he withdrew the money in question to buy a new Mercedes. Where I come from, we don't believe in taking checks to the car lot. We take cash money.
I'm surprised the dealer take cash money. Don't that know to be like, hey, dog, just give us a traveler's check. We ain't trying to get robbed.
April is on record as saying black. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all. Ashy Negro. Why you gotta be ashy, man? You got $200,000. You think you came for it? Some lotion?
Listen,
lotion.
Let me be ashy then, if that's what that is.
You know what I mean? Oscar Snub, rapper, bankhead, but I thought we said buckhead, not bankhead.
Same
yeah,
thing.
Got this from white folks in buck, I mean bankhead, yeah, but bankhead, blackity, blackity, black y'all, and this is why Pastor Troy scammed a woman to co-sign for his car. Safety first.
Oh.
Police thought his rapper name was the description. we got a black youngster here. Oh yeah, we see him.
Right there.
This is Guess the Race, not the state obvious black. Forgot to purchase. Forgot to purchase the RZA's men's wear line. Black.
Oh.
Darkness. Will be broke in the year black. Keith. Joe Spacely, Real Hood Rat, and Atlanta Black. The correct answer is black.
Now, I would be interested, and would be very interested in seeing the pictures of black youngster and the person who was actually caught for the forgery to see if there's any, you know, because he had like three names, like Charles Edward Dawson or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see if there's any resemblance between the two, because you know there is.
You know what? Let me play a track from Black Youngster. And oh, I will, good. I'm going to try to look up during the couple seconds of this song. I'm going to try to look up the person that got arrested. This is called Heavy. All right. This song is called Heavy. I just wanted to clarify. And this is number one song on Spotify.
Trapping hard out the trap, I was real trying to stretch. Young nigga with a big bum, I was dope boy head. Little nigga. I'm a drunk lord, you a runner, little nigga, I'm head. Fuck nigga. I was fucked up ass, I caught a bus when I met a mess. I remember I killed my...
Don't see his mugshot, guys. Maybe it's a conspiracy. Maybe he doesn't exist, but if you put a person's name in there, that mugshot pops up first, and, I saw a lot of people with named Darnell that had mugshots.
Yeah, a lot of Darnells.
Not that Charles Darnell though. All right, bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Amber is 2 for 2, guys. I mean, April is 2 for 2, and I'm 0 for 1 on that last name correction. April is 2 for 2. Can she make it into the bonus round? Let's see.
Double the points and the race. Double the points, race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, April is 2 for 2. But can you go 3 for 3? We'll see. Are you getting nervous, April?
Not at all.
Oh, not at all.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
All right. Let's see. How about this one? a woman killed the victim and left the body on the couch for days. A valid woman says the body of a woman found by police on her couch was a shrine from God.
Oh, okay. All right.
He works in mysterious ways, Karen.
Apparently so.
In very mysterious ways. Let me see if I can play this news article.
Police have identified a woman who was found dead on a couch inside a Phoenix apartment. Police say the victim, 20-year-old Crystal Hillman, was killed on Christmas Eve.
Why is this freezing? Play.
Investigators say the suspect, 39-year-old Anita Braxton, told them she shot the young woman in the eye for not believing in God. Braxton was arrested in the case. The victim's body had been on the couch for several days. She was not pregnant, as was initially believed.
All right. Oh. Anita Braxton does not play that shit. Okay, so
I'm gonna go with black on that one.
All right, let's see what the chat room believes as I pause this video. And why can't I get her picture? Why won't her picture come up? Is this a video too? Oh, hold on. Give me a second. I gotta get her picture up real quick. And what's funny is in the article, it's saying Anita Braxton, but on the news report, he said Anita, but it says Anita multiple times. So I'm going to say her name's Anita Braxton. All right.
You know they can't get our names right. Don't get me started on that. It's one letter, and they still couldn't, you know. But, you know, we just come full circle when we were talking about the Oscars, you know, to Vandenae, you know, Wallace, you know, and they made it a point to screw up her name like it was some kind of joke as an Oscar-nominated actress. Right. But it don't surprise me at all to figure out the difference between Anita and Anitra.
Meanwhile, Benedict Cumberbatch rolls off the tongue.
Never a problem. Never a problem.
Yeah, the only redeeming thing.
And Roman Polanski and all, you know, it's right. Like you've got nothing but confidence in your name. And yet, They still have, you know, they are taking their time, you know, because you can Google it. I mean, literally, Jamie Foxx made a song about her name. Like, this is literally how you pronounce her name, and they still can't get it right. So, Anita or Anitra, she's black either way, but, yeah.
You know, whatever. You know what? And then the only thing that redeemed it was when John, what's his name? What's the dude from Face Off? Travolta. Mm-hmm. When John Travolta, when he fucked up Idina Menzel's name. Well, he was like Adele Dazeem.
The greatest, yeah. I think he was drunk.
Yeah.
Like, that was a completely different person. You know, Razelle Dazeem, yeah. Or something like that. I was like, bruh. Like, her name starts with an M. How did you get Dazeem? That was great. That was a fantastic Oscar moment. Because everybody was like, I don't know if your wig glue is seeping into your brain. I don't know what's happening, but I am concerned about your well-being. You know, and he said it with such conviction, too. You know?
He was right.
That was a lot.
Ooh, I thought he was having a stroke or something. all right, so here's the answers in the chat. Black woman named after her mama's two favorite R&B singers.
Oh,
now keep in mind it's Anitra Braxton, but
whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Close enough. She missed out on that Braxton sister's money and is fuming. Black. Somebody's Southern Baptist attending Grandma Black. Deaconess Braxton is black and prays to white Jesus. She shot her in the eye, black. Okay, that was a thing that we do. The forgotten Braxton sister, trifling Braxton. That is trifling.com though. If you don't believe what I believe, you must die. Donald Trump supporter white. Ooh, going off the table.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't worried about cleaning up the body because the couch stays covered in plastic black. Neck rolling black woman. Well, that's only if she shot her in the den. Okay, Black Rob. No, in the living room, then you got to clean it up. Is that just my grandmama or is that everybody's
grandmama? Okay. No, I thought the living room. The living room was the formal room, so that one stays covered in plastic. The den is where you're actually allowed to sit with the little crocheted doilies on the arm of the cat. That's the way it was in my grandmama's
house. Okay, okay. Yeah, sometimes
they had two separate rooms at all.
Yes.
You live in high. Look at Rod. Rod got living room and a den.
My grandma.
We're talking about $200. Maybe Rod is black youngster.
Maybe. You know what I'm saying? Go get this deposit, you know what I'm saying? Get a little draw action, get arrested.
Go get your Mercedes.
Yeah, you know, we only buy cars in cash around here.
That's right.
They call her Nene in the neighborhood anyway. And yeah, okay, all right. So apparently my grandmama called it backwards. I just knew which room to stay out of. Anyway, the correct answer is, she's black. Good job, everybody. If you guys want to see what Anitra looks like, what a woman who would shoot you for not believing in Jesus
in the eye
would look like, that's it.
Oh, my. Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't question her religion or her truth either.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, she can have all of it.
Killing atheists is starting to be a thing, man. That was another article. Hold on. Let me see if I can. I might have it.
But she left the body on the couch. Like, can we discuss the smell and
odors?
And the blood. And was there nobody else in your house? You know, nobody asked you about the dead body and the pool of blood on the floor? Like, how does that? Because you shoot in the eye. I mean, you know, the blood goes to your head so that your brain can work. So that's a lot of blood. That's a lot.
Well,
at Christmas, like you saying, Merry Christmas. And please ignore, you know, the festering body over in the corner. Okay.
Just like God intended, man. It's in the Bible. Eye for eye. Pretty sure it's in there somewhere.
Not like that, no.
Whoever shall not believe in me, fuck that nigga up. I believe it's,
No.
Are you sure it's not?
I'm positive.
I don't think that's like Leviticus. I don't know. Mm-mm.
Well, agree to disagree.
Mm-mm. Nope.
What I'll just agree to disagree.
No, sir.
Apparently, y'all pack wasn't as strong as mine.
No.
Let's do our last thing, and then we got to get out of here, guys. So we watch this football. But it's You gotta talk about these people with these swords, guys, okay? It's an epidemic and it's continuing around the world. And that's how you get killed by a nigga with a sword, guys. Okay. Oh, what is that?
Oh, not by.
I was just about to play that gospel
making
song.
Making sure he was dead.
You're about to start the choir back up.
I know. That's the. Anyway, a Littleton man gets life without parole in a Summit County sword attack. Finally.
They getting them.
Finally, we get justice.
Yeah, we tired of people.
Got his ass. Someone listening to the show. 21-year-old Littleton man was sentenced Thursday to life in prison without parole for a 2014 sword attack on a teenager in the woods just north of Breckenridge. Tyrus Van Matry, guess the race, white, in September on several charges including second-degree attempted murder, first-degree kidnapping, and first-degree assault. Along with a life sentence, he also was handed a penalty of 112 years in prison. Good. Might be a Highlander. You never know, these sword motherfuckers, they might have powers to live forever and shit, so lock them up for more than life. The citizens of Colorado are safer than Mr. Van Matry in prison, the 5th Judicial District Attorney Bruce Brown said in a statement. Probably listening to the show. He is a dangerous criminal who planned to kill a man he called a friend. Don't they always? Mm-hmm. If you're living with people with swords, remember, they often turn on the people closest to them. That's all I'm saying. Prosecutors said in June 2014 that Van Matry took his 18-year-old victim, Jaden Jealous, into the woods and struck him with a sword. He was jealous of Jaden. By the way, Jadon Jealous, that's got to be a brother, right? J-A-D-O-N. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that sound like? What do y'all think? Mm-hmm. He's 18.
I don't know. So.
Black.
He's white.
I don't know.
He's white. I just see a picture of him with that scar in his head from the sword.
Yeah,
he got beat up pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, fucked up.
Yeah, yep. Messed with the wrong white kid. I should have known he was white because the dude did go to jail. What was I thinking? Of course.
got a life sentence.
It would have been a black dude that would be like, it was a misunderstanding. Somehow.
Right. It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah. The victim stood in the way of the sword as he was swinging it.
Is that how it works? The victim stood in the way as opposed to he stabbed him. Like, can we just give active versus passive voice for a minute? He was just swinging the sword. He lured him to the woods and he had this sword, but he was just swinging it because he was, I don't know, trying to cut down some brush or something. And this fool got in the way. So really,
if he was black, if Jaden Jealous was black, that's exactly how the article would be written. I'm telling you.
Nah.
He stood in the way of the sword. It would be, actually, the title would be Sword Injured by Black Man.
We checked on the sword and took the sword to the hospital. It's going to be all right, guys. Right. Don't worry about it.
Tyler would have been an environmentalist who was trying to save, you know, some birds from, you know, some, you know, diseased bush. And this black man comes along and stood in the way as Tyler was trying to help, you know, because he's really part of Greenpeace or something. So really, Jaden needs to, you know, be put in jail for, you know, impeding the progress.
Right.
He was
charged with trespassing, you know what I mean?
He was charged with assault on the sword.
Right. Although wounded, Jealous was able to fight back and escape. Jealous hid in the woods in the darkness, evading detection as Van Matry searched for him. In the pre-dawn darkness, after Van Matry attacked him, Jealous, covered in blood with deep cuts on his face, was found stumbling on Swan Mountain Road by a passing deputy. According to the Summit Daily, Van Matry's attorney said the attack stemmed from a bad acid trip and was not planned in malice.
Anyway. Acid, sword, Colorado, not that hard to figure out.
Not hard to figure out at all, guys. April, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. You got to come back and do this again when you get time.
Anytime. I'm here. And now you know I am very available and accessible to the Black Guys Who Tips podcast.
Make sure y'all follow her on Twitter. She's at Reign of April, R-E-I-G-N of April. Mm-hmm. Also on Facebook. She's, you can find her at facebook.com/Reign of April or, April Reign of April. I believe it's her last name on Facebook. Yes. And reignofapril.com, where you can find all kinds of stuff out about stuff that she's done. And, I gotta interview you at some point, because I have a spinoff show where I interview people I find interesting, and we gotta chop it up one of these days.
I would love that. Just hit me up.
All right.
We can make that happen.
So follow her on all the appropriate social media, and you know, if not, you'll just see her on TV. Mm-hmm. You know how it is.
Let's not. It really doesn't happen that often.
So you know,
nicely. Yeah, I'm on Twitter all the time. That's the best place to find me.
There you go. All right, man. We'll be back tomorrow. And
yes.
We have so much stuff to cover, guys. It's not even crazy. Like we didn't even get to some of the most ridiculous stuff that's going on. Okay, so you know, if you're a big fan of Bluebell or Chipotle, tomorrow you might want to skip the show. Okay, the bad things
Chipotle
are happening.
Can go, but Bluebell, I love Bluebell.
you love Bluebell.
Oh, so good.
I know, man.
It really does make a difference. And Breyers Chipotle. I mean, they got E. coli. Why would you even? I don't understand. If you drive by a Chipotle restaurant, and I'm using that word loosely, why you see anybody at the counter? Like, why are you taking your life in your hands? Do you have a death wish? They haven't figured out what the source is, what the cause is, but every week there's another outbreak. So why are you even saying, it's not even that good, and there are other options. Why are you taking that chance with your life? I don't understand.
I'm gonna be honest, man. I didn't even really want them that bad until I found out I couldn't have them. I don't know what it is.
He asks me every day, y'all. Every day. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't even know I wanted to. I never go to Chipotle because we have Qdoba here.
Right.
And then suddenly it was like, you know, one day Chipotle may be out of business. I was like, well, I should probably have one of the last healthy burritos that they have before everybody dies in my city. But Karen won't let me go, guys. Yep. Anyway. More on that sad.
That's a good wife.
I'm trying to keep him alive. He's like, no.
Right. I hear you. And you see how petty he's been to you. You talk about you going to put ham and eggs on your car. And yet you try to see.
I'm about to go put a cryptic message on Instagram right after the show about this.
With some clapping hand emojis.
I'm going to put a picture of Chipotle and be like, you know, why can't I have you or something? I don't know. people are always getting in the way of true love. I think I'm going to say that as a meme.
Yes.
Anyway, man, we'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy your NFL games and stuff.
Yeah, have a good time. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put Roderick's name and just some clapping hand emojis just because I can to confuse people. They're going to be like, what the fuck you do, Rod?
They're going to think you're applauding me, hopefully. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.